amen. Y'all give Safe Haven a big hand here.
The preacher asked if anyone would like to meet this man. Then he looked right straight at me and said, I see that hand. It was an old-fashioned, old call whiskey when the Lord came down. I lose roll when he blessed my soul and turned my whole life around. Sin met grace in a hallowed place, glory began to fall. I left the pew, found life anew at old-fashioned altar call. Where I sat, that altar seemed 100 miles away. But I'm so glad I made the move and stepped down anyway. Cause something got a hold of me as I walked down the aisle. Jesus saved my soul and I just shouted for a while. It was an old-fashioned altar call when the Spirit of the Lord came down. I knew the role when he blessed my soul and turned my whole life around. Sin met grace in a hallowed place, glory began to fall. Left the pew, found life in you, that old-fashioned altar call. It was an old-fashioned altar call when the Spirit of the Lord came down. I lose roll when he left my soul and turned my whole life around. Sin met grace in a hallowed place, glory began to fall. I left the pew, found life in you, an old-fashioned altar call. I left the pew, found life in you, at that old-fashioned altar call.
Good morning, Hunt Springs. What a privilege it is for Safe Haven to be back again. We love coming here. It's like coming home in a lot of ways. And it is fantastic to see this number of people back in church. Amen? Amen. I agree with the sign you had up on your screen a few minutes ago. We belong together, don't we? God's people belong together. So it does our heart good to see this many people back in God's house. Is there anyone in here who's never heard us before? Raise your hand.
And they came back. Okay.
Will you be quiet a minute? I'm trying to work here. They haven't. Okay. Well, let me go ahead and apologize to you folks to start with, and get that out of the way. And for those of you who have heard us before and came back, I don't know what to say about y'all, but that's okay. It's good to see smiling faces this morning. That's another thing. God's people should be a happy people. Amen. We've got everything in the world to be happy about, yes, don't we? Thank Amen? God. All right, very quick introduction. Clown on the right over here. Owns Safe Haven in a lot of ways. He owns all this equipment, that lanyard in the parking lot and all that good stuff. And that's pretty good because he's useless for anything else other than owning that stuff. But once in a while, he sings a pretty good tenor part, so we keep him around. Would you make welcome this morning from Zebulon, North Carolina, Mr. Tim Daldy. You know, Safe Haven is from Zebulon. I mean, that's all, everything we have has that on it. He's the only one that lives there. You know? And some of us don't live anywhere near there, as a matter of fact. Anyway. This next young man, has God's really blessed him with a tremendous talent. But more importantly, he's blessed him for a heart for people. And he loves the Lord this morning. And so we're just so thankful that God sent him to us. Would you make welcome singing our lead this morning from Castalia, North Carolina, Mr. Jerry Winstead. How's the weather up there? Partly cloudy? Okay. Bass singers usually come in a tall order, and they're usually really ugly. But God was good to us. And to him. But in any event, what a blessing this young man has been to Safe Haven. God sent him to us when he knew we needed this particular young man. Would you make welcome this morning, singing the bass part from Wake Forest, North Carolina, Mr. Mike Spence. My name is Wayne Coates, and I'm from Lumberton, North Carolina. And I sing the trashy parts. I sing the parts nobody else wants to sing, you know? But that's okay. I'm just tickled to death to be a part of this group. And this morning, if you're happy to have Safe Haven back with you, let's give God a hand clap of praise this morning.
cooling water feels like cooling water.
You know it is.
Cooling water, cooling water from Grandma's well. God said,
weeping will endure for the night, for in the morning
it will be all right. Oh, what a relief it was
when God rescued me. He loosed those chains
and me bound.
Then he set me free, free, free. Now it's
cooling water.
Yes, it is.
Cooling water
feels like
cooling water.
You know it is.
Cooling water from Grandma's well. Cooling water, cooling water, cooling water, cooling water, cooling water from Grandma's well. Oh, what a relief it was
when God rescued. Thank you. Woo, it's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to see all you folks. Man, we got to get people back in church. He said, forsake not fellowship. Yep. And this is where it's at. This is where you get the word.
This is what's happening.
This is where you feel the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You can't get it off of TV. I know people, they see these TV programs and stuff, and that's all fine and dandy. But when all of us come together and the pastor's up here preaching, the singers are singing, that's when you feel the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yes.
Now, I'm a Pentecostal minister, and you're thinking, well, I'm in a Baptist church. I had somebody
we
the other day.
That against you.
I had somebody the other day at a Pentecostal said, well, you're a Pentecostal minister, and you go to a lot of Baptist churches. I said, I sure do, because we're going to the same heaven.
Amen.
And I got news for you. A lot of them put y'all to shame. That's what I said.
Amen.
I said, Lord, I need to get my act right then. We need to be worshiping the Lord.
Yes.
If you ain't excited about nothing else this morning, let's get a nice hand for Lord for what he's done for you.
Yes.
For every breath that
Amen.
You take.
Amen.
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 I told Brother Wesley that I preached a sermon, well, part of a sermon the other day, because I didn't do it all. I did a short version for them because they
Thank
don't like
God.
The long
yes.
version.
Yeah, thank you.
But it was during Easter, and I said it was more than a vision. And people were trying to look at me like, you're preaching on Easter about more than a vision. And I told the folks, I said, you know what? You got to think, has anybody ever stopped and thought about how a God would take a body, put a heart in it, pump blood, give us arms and hand to reach out and grab things, to walk with our feet, to speak, and eyes to see. Now, mind you, I wear glasses. My eyes ain't as good as they used to be. But we can still see. But have you ever had vision of faith? I believe that day on Easter there was a vision of faith. Have you ever walked with vision of faith? That's what we all need. I got my vision of faith years ago, and sometimes I forget about it, but I come back to it. when I was 9 years old, because it took one moment in my life. One moment.
She was down on her knees. She would never get free. Her accusers had stones in their hands. They turned to Jesus just to see what he'd say. But the Lord just wrote in the sand. They all walked away when they heard him say, "Let the sin-free cast the first stone." With tears on her face, all her sin was erased. She stood in a moment of grace. Now the thief on the cross knew that his life was lost. He must pay for the crimes of his past. He had done nothing right. He would sure lose his fight. His time was running out fast. Then he took his last shot, said to Jesus, "Why not? Remember me when you reach heaven's gates." And Jesus forgave. No, his sin was erased. He died in a moment of grace. A moment of grace. Undeserved favor. Unspeakable. Say that I'm not worthy to live. They say you've tripped too far. You're so stuck in sin's mire. You need a miracle that only God can give. Oh, but Jesus passed by, and with this reply, he said, "I choose you. Just live for me." traveling, dark, deserted, or dear. Is there hope for tomorrow? Put your trust in me.
Songs that I wrote back years ago. I want Wayne to come sing this song. God woke me up at 2. You know, we live in a fast-paced world today. We're constantly busy doing things in this world. And that's where Satan wants us, because we don't have time to talk to Jesus. We don't have time to read. We don't have time to come to church. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But he woke me up 2 o'clock in the morning to write this song. He said, I want you to tell folks. He said, we need to get closer to the cross.
Amen.
If you want to fail. See, I had an old pastor come through revival years and years ago, told me. Matter of fact, it was little Timmy, because that's how old I was. He said, little Timmy, he said, let me tell you. And I still remember. He said, if you want to feel the flames, the effects of the fire, the effects of the flames, you got to get closer to the fire.
Amen.
You want to get closer to the Holy Spirit, you got to get close. You got to get close with your walk. But I want you to listen.
Closer.
closer to the cross is where I should be. Closer to the cross, down on my knees, that is where my blessed Savior died on that tree. How he pled my forgiveness, and the blood flowed so free. When he comes back for his children, I know heaven's where I'll be. But for now, I'll stand for Jesus. Close to the cross is where I'll
be. You stand for Jesus this morning.
Close to the cross is where I should be. Closer to the cross, down. That is where my precious Savior gave his life for me. Closer to the cross, down on my knees. That is where my precious Savior. Is where I'll be.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You don't have to wait till the end of the service to come to the old-fashioned altar.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait till the end when the pastor is done. You can come when God's calling.
Thank you.
Sometimes you pass it up and you walk out that door because you passed it up. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes.
Yes. He sees those tears. Yes.
Well, I was going to do another song, but I just feel like go ahead, Mike. He loves you this morning, and I feel it here.
Why did he go to Calvary?
was his life's blood shed for me. Why did he suffer like no man has ever done? There's just one reason. I am the one.
He loves me. He loves me.
I'll give him another hand. We appreciate Tim and Mike and Jerry and Wayne. We enjoy doing ministry with them. We enjoy having them here. And like I said before, you know, music is what plows the heart and softens it so the seed of the Word of God can be planted in it. And I really believe that with all my heart. And this morning, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. The young folks can go with Mona if they would like. And Tim can sit down because you and Mona, we ain't got nobody to watch y'all back there. Y'all get in trouble. Yeah, amen. Yeah, Timmy. Thank y'all so much. If you're here this morning, I'm going to begin by reading, and you're welcome to stand at the reading of God's Word. If your knees are bothering you, or back or hips, you don't have to, but if you want to honor God, you can stand, and I'll stretch your legs a minute as I read these first six verses. Jesus, speaking to his followers, said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. And then he commands, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into fire, and they are burned. Let us pray. Kind Father, we just thank you this morning for lordship salvation. We thank you, Lord, that your word calls us to repent. And Lord, as we surrender to your authority over our life, that Lord, we receive newness of life, joy made full because it is you living in us. Lord, we thank you for your spirit that indwells, your spirit that guides, your spirit that teaches, and Lord, your spirit that brings us to know all that will come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. This morning, this is a famous passage, and we've talked about it a lot, and I know you've heard sermons from here a lot, and as we continue on in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. My question this morning, are you a branch, or are you kindling? That's what Jesus is saying here. Either you're living for the Lord, or you're dying. I mean, it's no in between. My daddy used to tell me when I'd try to figure out what I wanted to do, son, you can't stand straddle a barbed wire fence with your feet on the same side. Amen. He used to tell me that all the time. You need to make up your mind and stick to it. And whatever you do, it's going to have consequences, good or bad. My daddy used to tell me that all the time. Here Jesus says, I am the true vine. If he is the true vine, that implies there is a false vine. This is the seventh of Jesus' sayings. And when Jesus, here at the beginning of John, says, I am the bread, he didn't say, I am some bread. He said, I am the bread. I'm the bread of life. There was some more bread. There was some manna that come down out of heaven in the wilderness, but that wasn't the bread of life. That was the bread that just kept them alive to get them through the 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus said, hey, your fathers eat it, they died. But guess what? I am the bread, the one that comes from heaven. He says, I'm not only the bread, I'm the light. You know, now picture this. They are there. In the temple, they're having the big festival. Everything's going on. And they had the lights, which is the glory of God. And they extinguished these big candlesticks, picturing the glory of God departing out of Israel. And right as they were remembering how their forefathers had rebelled against God and the glory of God had left and they hadn't heard from God in 400 years, all of a sudden Jesus cries out, I am the light. Not a light. I am the light. He says that I am the gate. He says I am the shepherd. Not just any shepherd. I'm the shepherd that know my sheep. I call them by name and they hear me and I give them eternal life and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Because my Father who's gave them to me is greater than all and I am the Father's one. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And he who believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God who's come into the world. Do you see the faith that they had? And then he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way. You know, it ain't one way. It's the only way. It's Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And now, as we look at verse 14, chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, when Jesus is saying this, the idea of a vineyard carried national identity to Jewish people. During the Maccabean period, they even had the grapevine on their corns. They even had the grapevines up over the temple. Herod, when he rebuilt the temple, put these grapevines up, and people would bring jewels and things that would represent the grapes or the clusters, and other people would add a gold leaf to the vine. It was kind of like our American flag. Okay, and in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 and following, Isaiah says, "Let me sing now for my well-beloved a strong song of my beloved concerning his vineyard, my well-beloved and a vineyard on a fertile hill." He dug around it, he removed the stones, and planted it with a choice vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it, and also he hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. You know what Jesus is saying here? Israel was supposed to be the vine of God. Jesus in Matthew tells this same parable and with the same meaning, tells it a little different. But Israel was God's chosen people. He chose one man that through him every family and every nation would be blessed because they'd come to know that the Lord was God. And the God was creator, redeemer, lover of heaven and earth. But guess what Israel did? Failed. Now remember in John, when Philip went and got Nathanael, and he said, "Nathanael, we found the Messiah. He come from Nazareth." Nathanael says, what good could come out of Nazareth? Then when he sees Jesus, he says, "My Lord, my God." Jesus was the true Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of David. Jesus replaced what Israel was supposed to do. He is the choice vine. And he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Now, if the branch doesn't produce fruit, he what? Whacks it off, right? If it's cut off from the vine, it dries up. It becomes a stick. It becomes brittle. It's cast out into the fire. This here is a story about a true vine, the vine dresser, and the true branch. Either you're a branch or you're not. Think about it. He's writing to the 11 here. He's speaking to them. He tells them already, he says, "Didn't I choose you?" In chapter 13, "Yet one of you is of the devil." Now think about what he did for Judas. He showed him friendship. You know, when he set him on his right-hand side after he had done told the disciples, "I have chosen y'all, yet one of y'all will betray me." He set him right beside him. He dipped the bread in the cup and he handed it to him out of friendship. Judas had every opportunity to be a true branch. But he chose to what? Go away. It says when he went out, he what? Went out into the darkness. That's probably one of the most depressing things I have read in John. Jesus says, "I am the light." He's with him. And then it says, he went out and it was dark. Can you imagine that? See, when a vine dresser dresses the vine, he cuts almost everything off. The first time I ever went to California, I was amazed at a lot of different things about California. I'd heard a lot of things, and some of it's true, some of it's not. When you get in some of the big cities, obviously, it is a lot of bad. You get out on the countryside, it's a lot of things I didn't know, like some of the vineyards, some of the feedlots. It was all kinds of things that I had never seen before. And if you're on I-5 running up from Barstow and running on up towards from Bakersville up towards San Francisco, all of a sudden you'll just see vineyards for far as you can go. And the first time I got out there, it was for the spring, and the vine dressers had cut all the branches off. So it was just a bunch of twisted looking stumps out there. First thing I thought of is, what happened? A tornado come through here? I had never seen anything like it. And the farther we rode, we seen it. I got on the CB, and they thought, "You're not from around here, are you?" Right? And they started explaining all about it. See, the vine dresser First of all, he'll strip the vine off so that it's nothing there, so that the vine itself can get the nutrition it needs. It comes through the winter, and then when it starts sprouting, they'll top it. They'll pinch off the little bit at the top. Then as the shoots come up, that they'll break some of that off so they're not so heavy as to break, and so they'll fill out more. Even as the clusters of the grapes come on there, they'll pick off some of the ones that is not good, so the other ones will develop and be juicy and ripe, and that's where you get that jelly. See? Jesus wants us to be sweet like jelly. No, what Jesus wants us to be is a true disciple, a true branch. This is what we see here. As we look at this, we see that David says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." You know what happens? You know when we get that pruning? We get pruned when we're getting a little bit out of line. Hebrews chapter 12 tells it this way. God, like a father, disciplines because he loves us so much. If God let us do everything we wanted to and didn't discipline us, we'd know that we're not a true vine. We're kindling. We're going to be gathered up and cast out. See, in chapter 8, Jesus says, is this not the reason you don't understand? Is why? Because you don't know God. If the word of God abided in you, you would know God. Here, David says, it was good for me that I was afflicted. What happened? I was doing what I wanted to. I got afflicted. Y'all remember Psalm 51? When the Lord afflicted him, he says, I cried all night. My bones was crushed, he says. And what happened? You have to stop and think, what's going on here? And then the word of God judges you and straightens you out. John MacArthur says it this way, but suffering is merely the handle of the Father's knife, and the blade is the word of God. I love that. You know, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And what John MacArthur's talking about here is trimming off anything that keeps us from being what God wants us to be. You know, a lot of times I used to think, well, if I get saved, what have I got to do? I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to quit that. Guess what? You ain't got to do nothing but trust Jesus. I tell people all the time. They like, well, I don't have no clothes to wear to church, or I got to do this, or I got to get this right. As soon as I get this fixed, I'll get right with the Lord. Nope, nope, nope. Trust in Jesus. And whatever is in your life that needs pruning off, Jesus will take off a little bit at a time. You know, I was amazed when I surrendered to Jesus for salvation and truly trusted in him. If he had took away everything I was doing wrong, there wouldn't have been nothing left. I'd have probably just burst into flames. Truthfully. He took away some of the bigger things that I needed to stop. Why? So I didn't shame the cross. But then the closer and the longer I walked with him, it was little things he started taking away. And it wasn't that I was trying to get a haircut or change or do this. Or do that or quit that so everybody think I was doing good. It was because the Lord would show me stuff when I was witnessing to people that I wanted them to see that I was different. And they'd be like, what happened to you? Jesus? You know, we could do a lot of things and think we're saved. And we could give money. We could get dressed up. We could speak right. We can do all them things. That just means we're in a religion. Jesus is talking about here being in a relationship. Here's John MacArthur wrote a book and got a lot of slack over it because they said he was trying to be a Pharisee because he was talking about lordship salvation. If you're saved, you live for the Lord. And he had to write another book and he kind of redefined what lordship salvation was. And he says this, he says lordship salvation is defined as repenting and submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ. Saved people obey Jesus. We don't obey Jesus perfectly, but we're getting better and better as we get closer and closer to heaven. Romans 8 talks about it this way. He says that he works all things together for the good of those who love God according to his purposes. And he goes on to say, for this reason, so that they may be conformed into the image of his Son. We want to look more like divine. And so here, when Jesus says, I am the true vine, my Father's the vine dresser, every branch in me that does not produce fruit is carried away. Now look, you know that they're getting burned up. So these are unbelievers, and also these are the people that act like believers. These are the people that, might, I don't know if you realize this, there's a lot of people in church that's not saved and a lot of people in church that won't go to heaven. Till they hear the gospel, the Holy Spirit regenerates them, they accept the gospel, they submit to Jesus Christ, and then they're saved. A lot of people will not repent because why? They think they can do it on their own. Y'all just sung about that. Ephesians 2 talks about that. It says we're saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not a result of works. We can't work for our salvation. Why? We'd boast. That's what Paul says. We'd boast. But then he says, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for new works, which he prepared beforehand so we'd walk in them. You don't work for your salvation, but once you get saved, you go to work. And here Jesus says that when we are part of the vine, he commands us to depend on him. This is what I learned in 1994 when I finally got saved. Oh, I used to want to be saved, or basically didn't want to be in trouble. And so, you know, I'd come up with all these deals. You don't make deals with God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's one deal. Hey, I'm wrong. You're right. I believe you died to forgive me. Please forgive me. And this new life you've given me, may the love of Christ control me so that from now on I'll live a life for the he who gave himself up for me. That's it. It's a dependence. That was the first thing I learned when I got saved is you got to depend on Christ. Dr. Carson used to say it this way, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. What do you mean of all? My house, my TV, my remote control, my music, my tongue, what I eat, what I drink, what I do, how I treat other people. Do you do that right? Not all the time. I'm living proof. You can mess up and still be loved by God. Why? Because he's pruning you. Jesus says here, my believers depend on me. Look at verse 4. This is a command, abide. That means, and I always remember this word because this, I had to take an exam in Greek, and I have trouble with English. Matter of fact, my wife told the Greek professor if he could just teach me to speak clear English, she'd bake him a cake. Amen? But the word here is minnow. And here's how I remembered it for an exam. Gilligan's Island. He went on a trip on the SS Minnow, right? He had a shipwreck, and he remained on the island, right? If he didn't abide on that island, the show would be over. I was little, but I knew this. He ain't getting off the island because the show will be over, right? Here's what Jesus says. You got to abide in me if you're going to be saved. Why? You can't do it on your own. Can the vine not support the branch? If the branch is not attached to the vine, will the branch survive? Nope. Can you live the Christian life without Jesus? Nope. Do we try sometime? Yep. See, he's talking to the 11 disciples here. Guess what? They believe in him. Now, the Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out yet, but the Holy Spirit is with them. He says the Holy Spirit is with you and he will be in you. So they've believed Jesus. They've confessed he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God who comes into the world. Peter says, where else shall we go, Lord? And here the Lord's saying, you got to depend on me. You know, I'm wondering what Peter thought. He's like, you know, right. Let me tell you something. I got out of the boat and was walking on water and things was going good. And I was looking at Jesus and then I was like, Thomas, look here, buddy, I'm walking on water. And I sunk when I wasn't depending on Jesus. And our Christian life's the same way. When we start thinking that I can preach a sermon to y'all or they start thinking they can sing to y'all because we got it all together, guess what? That message and that song's going to crash. It is the power of God unto salvation through his word and through his power and that word dwelling in us that it fills us to accomplish the purposes of God. And I know I've got to get on here, but I want you to get this. Abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Verse 5, he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. How much fruit? Much fruit. What is fruit? He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Let me just run through a few of these fruits. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Look, against such things there is no law. What do you mean? Well, I can tell y'all to do that, but y'all ain't going to love just because the Bible tells you to. You got to have some help. You got to have the Holy Spirit living in you. You got to have the Spirit of the Son of God living in you as Jesus loved that you can love. You got to have this patience. James says, consider it all joy when you encounter trials. Why? Because the Lord is pruning you. He's trimming off some stuff you don't need. Why? So you can serve him. You got to depend on him. Jesus says, we got to, y'all say depend. You got to depend on Jesus if you're going to live the Christian life, if you're going to bear fruit. So what does that fruit look like? It looks like disciples who rely on God's word. If we depend on Jesus, we got to rely on his word. We can't just say, Google a Bible verse 2 weeks from now when we get in trouble because, I believe God said something about that. Let me look it up and see what I need to do. We got to abide and rely on his word every day. Jesus says here, if anyone doesn't abide in me, he is thrown away and the branch dries up. They gather them, cast them out as fire into fire, and they're burned. Now, verse 7, look what it says. If you abide in me and my words in you. We're reading God's word. We're listening. We're obeying. You know, in 1 John chapter 5, Jesus says that you obey and my words are not burdensome. I remember used to, I thought I was saved, but I won't. I was just going to church. And all them things that I thought I ought to do, I was like, I don't want to do them. Have I really got to do it? You know, even after I got saved and everything was going good, told my mama one time, I don't want to go to church. She said, why not, son? I said, well, them people down there, they don't like me. They talk about me all the time. I just don't want to go. And she said, but you got to go. I said, Mama, I really don't want to. She come back in there in about 30 minutes. She said, Wesley, you got to get up and go to church. I said, why, Mama? She said, you the preacher. That's a joke now. My point is, no matter what you're doing, my mama taught me this a long time ago. She always used to say, this too shall pass. If the word of God is not abiding in you, and you're not depending fully on Christ, the Christian life is hard. Jesus never promised it'd be easy. But he promised here, if you'll just abide in me, depend on me, rely on my word to be filling you. Old preacher used to say it this way, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. When you start getting dry, you can reach down there and pull up that cooling water. See, and we rely on his word. So it's not only about the Bible and Bible studies. I'm going to put a little plug in here for Pastor James. He's doing a great job with this Bible study. If y'all been missing it, the first and third Wednesday night, you're in for a blessing. Amen? We're growing in the Word. I mean, this is part of it. It's not burdensome to want to gather with Christians and study God's Word. We want to be fed by God's Word. But also, when the Word goes in, prayer flows out. It's a prayer life. Here's the fruits. First of all, I'm depending on Jesus. How do I know I'm a good branch? I depend on the vine. Well, how do you know you're depending on the vine? I love the Word. How do you know you love the Word? Because I'm taking it in. Then what happens? I get ready to pray, and I'm praying the Word instead of for those things that I didn't really need. The things that I wanted, but forgot about the payment book that was coming with them. You know, if you ever got something and you really liked it and it's pretty and it's got new wheels on it and everything's going good, but the only problem when you get it home, you can't drive it because the payment book's so high you can't see over it to drive it. And you'd be like, I really wanted this, but now I don't know that I needed it. That's what prayer's for. Look what Jesus says about the fruit. Here's some fruit. If you abide in me and my words in you, ask, say whatever. You wish, and it will be done for you. My Uncle Rudy said that he asked the Lord one time for $1 million. The Lord gave it to him. But he gave it to him $1 at a time because he knew that I couldn't handle it. This says, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Why will it be done for me? Because, look what verse 16 says. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you, or I set you apart, that you would go and you would bear fruit, and look, your fruit would remain, so that whatever you asked him in my Father in my name, he may give you. The idea here is that the Father will do what we asked in verse 8 so that he is glorified when we bear fruit and we prove to be disciples of Jesus. So here's how this works. When the Word is going in, and we pray, we're not asking for selfish things. We're not asking for things that don't agree with Jesus. When Jesus says, whatever you asked in my name, when he's talking about his name, he's talking about in his person, in his plan, and in his purpose. You know, if you want to get something, you know, we've been before and be looking at something, and the salesman come up, and my wife would just tell him, you're wasting your time. You better go find somebody y'all can sell something to. It's going to take him 2 weeks to make up his mind. He'll probably come back 3 times. Matter of fact, y'all will probably sell this, or either it'll go out of date before he ever buys it, right? But you know what I learned? I used to be impulse, if y'all ain't going to believe that. And I would think I needed something, and I'd jump into it. But I started asking myself this. Can God have a purpose for this? Can God use this, or do I just want it? One of the greatest prayers I ever learned was, Lord, fix my wanter so I want what you've planned for me to do. And the only way we do that is by depending on Jesus and relying on his Word and putting the Word in, so when we pray out. That works when we hurt, and that works when we're in trouble. One of my favorite, and I know Jesse and Miss Jean Ford, they love this psalm. I used to, when you get depressed and you get lonely and you don't know which way to go, I just say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. We pray back scripture. You can pray that Jesus promised, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We pray as part of the fruit, and we abide in Jesus' love. And if we do abide in his love, it produces an unending joy. Look at verse 11. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be made full. I'm going to close here and instead of going on to verse 17, but think about this. If we abide in Jesus, if we depend on him, if Jesus is our life, and we believe in his Word, and we pouring his word in and prayers is flowing out, we'll experience his joy. Why did Jesus talk about his joy? In John, in the same gospel here, Jesus said that he speaks as the Father spoke in chapter 8 and chapter 12. And then he says he does as the Father does. You know what brought him joy? What was doing what the Father sent him to do. Accomplishing the plan and the purposes of God. So as Christians, we need to depend on Christ and produce fruit. What kind of fruit? Well, we need to abide or depend on him. We need to depend and rely on the word. We need to be in a constant prayer life with God. I remember used to, that little black truck I had out here, it used to be the world's worst the way the back was made, and the tailgate wasn't heavy, so I could just close it from anywhere. The truck I got now, it takes two hands and your knees to close it, amen, from the middle. And I used to close that thing all the time from the side. Well, right out here one time, I put some stuff in the back to haul down to the dump, and I closed it. And when I did, I closed my thumb in the tailgate, in that little hole right there. Well, now, I can tell you what I would have said prior to 1994, maybe a few months after that, okay? I'll never forget this. I said, Lord, thank you for not cutting my thumb off when I was trying to figure out how to get the tailgate undone. And then I thought, you know, if I weren't saved, I'd still be cussing and throwing a fit. See, we pray. You're riding down the road. You see a car coming and you know the wheels are not slowing down and you got the green light and you slow down and they go straight on through. Thank you, Lord. You share the gospel with a friend and a few days later they die. Thank you, Lord. See, we take prayer for granted. You'll never know the joy that Christ knew if you don't imitate the vine. You know, when Jesus first started his ministry in the Gospel of Mark, the disciples told him, come on, everybody's looking for you. They bringing everybody here. You know where they found Jesus? Praying. Where at? By himself. What'd Jesus tell them? Come, we got to go from here. From all this fame, yeah, we got to go preach the gospel in other villages because that's what I come for. Because he had been in prayer with the Father, he didn't take his eye off the plan and the purpose that God sent him for. He kept moving. That's what we have to do. See, fruit that remains, constant prayer life. You know, even as Christians, sometimes our prayer life gets dull. Sometimes the quickest way to get our prayer life back on track is to start praying Scripture, thanking God for who He is. Just start praying the Psalms, who God is, how great He is. Get your prayer life back on track. Get that joy. Doesn't matter about your surroundings. It's the joy of Christ living in you. Jesus didn't promise to calm all the storms. He just promised to calm us in the midst of the storms. Know that joy. Know that fruit remains. And we've done an evangelism class a few weeks ago. A couple weeks we're going to do one here. One of the greatest remaining fruits is when you lead somebody to the Lord and you see their life continue to grow in Christ. You know, we can't save anybody. It's God. God didn't tell us to go save anybody. The Lord said just go and tell them the gospel. So when we can't do anything without Jesus, when we trusted in him and he saved somebody. I got a friend I just talked to last week. I remember him going to church, and I got saved, and the Lord changed my life, and I tried to talk to him and change his life, and he's like, I know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And his life was a train wreck for about 15 years, and then all of a sudden he surrendered to the Lord. I had the honor of baptizing him, and I called him the other day because I hadn't heard from him in about a week. I usually hear from him about every other day, and I'm like, brother, are you okay? He said, yeah, I've just been busy. I said, I'm praising God for keeping you safe, sober, and saved. See, that's the fruit that remains. So today, as we close, remember the purpose of prayer and pruning is so we love and live like Jesus. Read this when you get home. I didn't get to finish talking about the love of Jesus, but it's sacrificial. Jesus is talking about, and he gives us a command. He says, I command you to love one another as I've loved you. Jesus' love is sacrificial. It's not Hollywood love. It's not love that's emotional. It's not love that's all airbrushed. It's not love that's all dressed up. It's love that's going to cost you something. If you love somebody, if you love a brother or sister in Christ, if you love a church member, there's going to be things they do you don't like. But just remember, God is pruning us all. And we'll all spend eternity together in heaven. There's been so much racial tension, and I can see it in stores, parking lots. I've been going out of my way to smile and tell people, hey, I've been saying, have a blessed day. Some people won't even look me in the eye. They'll walk by me. The other day, Mona and I was walking, and I'm not being mean, but the way I was raised, you stay on the right. And these people had intentionally crossed over and was coming towards us, and we had to get out of the way so they could come by, so they could make a point. Yesterday, I was going in Piggly Wiggly, and I said, how you doing this morning? And the lady just started grinning. And I said, you have a blessed day. She says, thank you, and you too. You know what I know about that lady? Don't matter what color she was. You know what changed her? We're both going to be in heaven. I'm confident of that. When that joy is in someone, you realize they're saved. My question for you is, we leave here today, will people see that joy in you? Will they see that joy and they say, guess what? He's a branch. She's a branch. They abide in the vine. Is it anything as we bow our heads that the Lord's trying to prune out of your life? If it is, today's the day. Say, Lord, clip it off. Lord, I'm ready to let it go. My question also is, are you a true branch? If you've never surrendered to Jesus and say, Jesus, I know I've not lived your way. I know I've not lived a life that's pleasing. I know I've sinned, rebelled against you. But I believe you died for my sins, and today I'm asking you to forgive me, and I'm surrendering to you to take control of my life. Please forgive me. If you've prayed that and meant it with your heart, you're saved. If you prayed that this morning, raise your hand. Amen. If you're saved and your prayer life's not quite where it needs to be, it might not be where it was last year this time, or you might get busy, as Tim was talking about earlier, and not reading God's word like you were, all you got to do is stop right where you're at and say, Lord, prune some of my busyness away so I got time to spend with you. I can read my Bible and I can pray. Lord, I got some bitterness. I need you to trim that off this morning that I can live and love like Jesus this week. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to prune away the dead wood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As the world looks upon me as I struggle along, they say I'm not worthy How I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and the shoes on my feet. You gave me a love home and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Well, I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love more and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Thank y'all so much for being here today, and we thank you for all your blessings. And remember to pray for one another and continually pray for the people of Ukraine. It's just devastating. I was watching a mother and child that's underneath that plant, and it's just so much going on there that I can't imagine. So just keep them lifted up in your prayer and God's hand upon all of them, upon each other. Pray for all these that are sick, have things. But pray for all of us to grow closer to the Lord this year. I mean, can you imagine any better prayer from somebody? That they just get closer and closer to Jesus. You know, I said one time I used to pray, Lord, I want to walk so close, if you stop, I'm going to run into you. You know, and we just take that for granted. And even I do a lot of days because we get so busy. So let us close. Kind Father, we come before you now with praise. And we do count our blessings. Lord, the little things, like food on the table or roof over our head, we often think that we've done that ourselves. And we just take for granted that it's your blessings upon us, Lord, that you provide, you guide, and Lord, you protect us. And we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would put on each of us, on our heart today, someone that we will call and invite to church or share the gospel with them. Lord, make a commitment to keep praying for them till they come to faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The offer.